Welcome to the Jazz Piano School podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 187. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for being here. So, you know, I've just been trying to find different ways to stay positive in this environment, and you know, I think a lot of us, a lot of people can relate, and it's taking its toll, you know, just quarantine, being inside, but you know, we gotta keep on keeping on, you know, and try not to dwell on the crappy things that are happening right now. I mean, it's definitely great to check in, and it's hard not to, but you know, go outside, you know, get out of the house, right? Exercise, you know. Put good stuff into your body. Like, all these things are so important, especially in these times, right? Make music, sit down at the piano, work on things. Like, I've been training myself to use Logic, and it's so awesome. Like, I'm having a blast. Like, we got to release our creative spirits, especially for us creatives, all us musicians out there, right? Find something creative to do. Paint, you know, draw, make music, do other things, cook, you know, have fun. Like, use this time as an opportunity to invest in certain things you've been meaning to learn and do. You know, I think, excuse me, a lot of those things will really help your mind, you know, your body, your soul in these hard times. So I don't really have much for you guys today. Honestly, I have so much work. I have so much work to do. And I'm having so much fun with Logic, but all the church music I do, I'm a director of music at a church, is online now, and so I'm using Logic to edit all our files, and I'm putting organ in, and you know, I'm putting guitar in, and all these different things, a lot of pads, synth, and stuff like that. Oh, it's so much fun. I've been watching Jacob Collier's editing videos on Logic, and they're just so awesome. Oh, they make me so happy. Like, the stuff he does, like he banged like his ukulele up against his drum by accident. He's like, oh, I like that sound, and I'm added in. I mean, that type of creative spirit is just, it's so inspiring, and I think it helps the soul just feel good. I mean, you know, just do whatever feels good to you, like in these types of moments, you know? So a lot of that stuff just feels good for me to express my creative output, but I have so much work. So I'm going to let us dive right into this amazing lesson by Trent talking about solo piano architecture. And it's a really cool thing that he's talking about here because, you know, constraints, you know, without constraints, freedom is a great thing, but too much freedom, right? And it's hard because right now I'm sure all of us want more freedom because we're stuck inside, but too much freedom can lead to being lost, right? In wandering aimlessly. And that's not a good feeling at all. So adding constraints and boundaries and kind of some concepts and strategies to your solo piano playing can really help improve your focus, improve your performance, right? And improve your practice and to know, you know, how to architect, you know, a tune and your solo piano approach. So that's what Trent's going to talk about. A really, really cool lesson. I love all the education that he gives. So with that being said, let's dive right into this.
What's up, guys? This is Trent Bryden with Jazz Piano School, and today we are going to be talking about solo piano architecture. So when we're playing solo piano, it's really helpful to design the flow of an arrangement. With no constraints, playing solo can quickly become boring to both the player and the listener. By developing concepts to shape your arrangements, you'll achieve a greater sense of freedom in your playing and have confidence in your performance. So here is just one blueprint that I've been developing using the tune There Will Never Be Another You. So real quickly, I'm just going to run down the different components. So first, there's a solo arrangement that's a note-for-note thing that's kind of played rubato or out of time. It gets us into a vamp section, which is just two chords and rhythmically just set in the groove for the piece. And then there's four courses of improvising. The first is simple lines with left-hand bass notes or bass lines. The second course is, you know, a little more complex lines, ramping it up and with left-hand chords. And this is just like the most natural flow of the whole thing. Not really holding back. You're just kind of going. Third course is taking it outside, which is using, you know, some different concepts and techniques to get some outside sounds. And the fourth chorus is reflecting the solo arrangement. So you have to have a solo arrangement before you can do that step. And then finally, we're going to take the vamp out and play a little bit of the melody over the vamp. So to start out, you want to be able to improvise over the piece, over the changes, really without any difficulty. And that step takes, you know, it could take anywhere from a couple weeks to a couple months, depending on the difficulty of the tune. But basically, you just want a left-hand chord line, and you want to be able to just flow eighth notes without worrying about it. So I'm going to demonstrate that just for a little bit. And this has been worked up over, for me, I think like a month. So... So that was me just kind of blowing with no restraints, you know, some mistakes in there, but just the point is just feeling comfortable with doing that. And even when you make those mistakes, you know, you're not lost, you know where you are, you can just keep going. And then the next steps, so that's basically what I did there is pretty much what the second course is going to be, that complex kind of lines with the left-hand chords. And then we're going to kind of stretch this out in two directions. One is making it simpler, and one is giving it a little more form, or a little more concepts that you're inserting in there, not just free-blowing. So the first part's nice and easy. You're just going to make it simpler, and you're just going to play left-hand bass notes slash lines and really strip back those melodic lines. So, you know, you want to hear stuff that you're not playing. So here's an example of that. So that's holding back a little bit. And then after that is when you're going to get back into this flowing that you've been working on for, you know, a month or so. And then next is a really fun part, which is putting in some concepts to play outside a little bit. And these are things, you know, you want to work out and have some things guiding you, not just playing random notes that try to sound outside. I mean, you could do that. It's just not as satisfying to you or the listener. So I'll show you a couple outside concepts that I've been using over this that, you know, you might take for yourself, or at the very least just get an idea of what it's like. So first of all, I'm going to emphasize the sharp 11 on the E flat. So instead of, we're going to hit that A natural, and I'm going to emphasize that in the left hand too. So, or, you know, anything like that. Next, on this minor 2-5 that's going to C, instead of playing the minor 7 flat 5 chord, we're going to play a regular minor 7 chord that has the natural 5 and the natural 9. So this E natural becomes really important here. So it's like, sorry. That was a really bad example. Let me try that again. There we go. Let me do it again. One more time. All right. So on this C, instead of playing like linear like I've been doing in the past, now to open it up, I'm going to play more open, like fourths and fifths. So like, so all together, and then over this 2-5, I'm playing an E pentatonic shape, and then kind of sidestepping that around, and then going down a half whole diminished scale, and landing somewhere on the A flat. So it's like, something like that. Okay, you get the point. There's a bunch of concepts overriding it. So I'm just going to play one chorus that's kind of all out real quick here. So, so that's the out chorus. That's a really fun one. And then the last step we're going to do is we're going to reflect the solo piano arrangement, and that's going to take us out of the tune. But in order to do that, first you have to have a solo arrangement. And that is a whole separate, not just video, series of videos, and you know, a lot of stuff goes into that. But I'm just going to play through my solo arrangement for you and then show you how I'm kind of applying it to the last improvised chorus. And it kind of like ties it together. So thank you. So that's the solo arrangement, and that's where we get into the vamp here. So the vamp is kind of like the bridge between that out-of-time melody and then starting to get into the solos. So the vamp is just going back and forth between E-flat major and C major. So what's cool about this change, one, it just sounds really cool. Two, it's kind of implying C major versus C minor with that E-flat, but instead of C minor, it's E-flat major. Also, this E has been like vital to the reharms throughout the song because, you know, earlier we were playing the D minor 7 with the natural 9 instead of with the flat 9 from the D minor 7 flat 5. And also over the 2-5 and A-flat, we're playing this E major pentatonic thing. So the E is kind of like the path outside. And so I'm kind of hinting at that earlier in this vamp, which I'll just play it for you straight through. So coming off the tag. So you see that vamp goes right into the solo there. And then at the end, after we play, you know, the whole tune, we're going to take this vamp out, and then I'm going to play the tag. I call this the tag. I'm going to play that over the vamp, but I'm going to rhythmically alter it so that you know, every note gets one beat, and I think it puts in like 5 or something. I'll just play it for you. It's like, that just kind of fades out the arrangement. Oh yeah, the last thing is, so the fourth improvised chorus is that reflection of the solo arrangement. So let's go through part by part and show you how I'm gonna work on that. So like solo arrangement starts. So it's those block chords, basically that diminished, going back and forth between the diminished sound and the major 6 or major 7. So I'm going to play lines that outline that, like, or, or, something like that. So I'm it's like it's a mirror, not a mirror. I don't know, some sort of reflection that is being, you know, listened to again, but through your improvisational filter. So it's going to come out in, you know, different and unique ways. That next section, you know, when I play that chord change there with the inner movement, I'm just going to hit that. So like I'll do a, this next section, this chord thing, I'm just going to break that up and play it, or all that stuff, you know, one way to get that is just somehow to just ingrain that in your musicianship over years of study, or you could arrange it at the beginning and work it in, and you got it right there. That's kind of how I do it. So it's not like I just am a musical genius that out of the blue I'm improvising and I just come up with this. No, it's something you practice. You work out the patterns and all the different arrangements, and you know, and eventually maybe that'll come up in another tune when I'm just flowing and improvising. But for now, I'm working it in. All right, so go through a whole chorus like that, and then that chorus slowly is going to turn into, you know, back into the solo arrangement. It's going to get back out of time, and kind of like slow rubato out and do that groove out to the end, and that's the whole thing. So if you want to stick around, I'm going to play through the whole thing and try to give it a shot for you. To summarize, solo arrangement, vamp, simple lines and bass notes is the first chorus. Second chorus is flowing complex lines with left-hand chords. Third chorus is taking it outside. Fourth chorus is reflecting the solo arrangement. And then there's the vamp out where you're quoting the melody. All right, I'm going to try this whole thing for you. Bear with me. Thank you. And there you have it. As you can see, when I actually do it, all those choruses kind of blend together a little bit, which is good, and it's what you want. You don't want to have to force it. But after practicing enough, keeping those elements separate, they'll start to blend together just in the right amount. Just in the right amounts. So overall, what I want you to take away from all this is that there's architecture involved in great solo piano playing. It's not all random. And you can take some of these concepts into your own playing. And don't get caught up by the notes I'm playing or the voicings or any of that. But use what you've got and take, you know, a couple things that you've got worked out and spread them out as far as you can. Get all the music out of them that you can. So have fun, happy practicing, and download the notes page if you want to outline the different elements here. All right.